on RSN 927. Winners with Nadia Horn.
And it's 11 to 12 on this Monday, and Blake Redden's back with us this time to review all the action from Friday night out at Tabcorp Park, Melton. How was the night on the punt, Blake?
Yeah, it was an interesting night. There was plenty of favourites. Most of them ended up getting home, or at least the ones you wanted to see get home. We had our favourite rolled in the last, but no, it was a night for probably favourite punters in the end.
Okay, well, let's have a look at race number one. This is won by Hickstead, who was one of the faves and fancies. Take us through this race.
Yeah, we haven't seen too much of this of recent times at Tabcorp Park, really. It's something we've spoken about over the journey, but it was just a peg line dominated affair, and it was soon after the start. Once Hickstead crossed Wits End and Marnie End didn't look like it was going to get down to the pegs, they found their positions, and there were no changes in running. Nono Stride ended up working to the breeze, and that was the end of the penny section. They went a 46.5 second lead time, so not overly quick, but they rolled that into a 31.4 first quarter, which is, you know, extremely slow, you would say, for an MO class race. Even over the middle trip, second quarter of 30.4, and then they sprinted home. As I mentioned, it was leader behind leader, three pegs that did the damage. Hickstead was far too strong for Wits End, who ran a really good race to fight the market to some degree. It was 20-1. It was still closing on the line to only be beaten a couple of metres. So good run from Wits End. 40 Thieves stuck on well enough from three pegs for third. Nono Stride, who ran fourth, is interesting. Looked gone a fair way out and did actually battle on okay up the straight, and you can pretty much put a line through the rest. Rock Classic was probably a pass mark, all things considered, even being beaten 17 metres. Same said for Marnie N, who didn't have the clearest of passages at a crucial time. But aside from that, I'm pretty sure that you can just not worry too much about the others because of the way the race was run and the fact that the pegs dominated. But Hickstead had been working towards winning a Metropolitan race, so he was a very deserved winner of the first.
The second race, so I suppose this was the shock result of the night with Miss Atomic Betty winning over the fives on Poppin' Cruise.
It was. Definitely was. Cruz, he had every chance. He was drawn inside the second row. He got off the pegs early. He made an early enough move to get into the race, and he was just, I guess, beaten by a better, maybe fitter horse on the night. Rockabella Stars was able to lead. They set a pretty average early section lead time of 7 seconds flat, which is quick enough, but then they backed it down to a 29.2 first quarter, 30.2 second quarter, and they went really quickly through that third quarter. Zach Phillips trying to get them off a bit with Rockabella Stars, 27.9 through that third quarter. It did sort the men out from the boys to some degree. The first three got right away from the rest, but Miss Atomic Betty, who had that soft run on Rockabella Stars back, was able to get to the outside of the two dueling in front. Cruise at the breeze at the point at that point of the race, about 400 out, and Miss Atomic Betty just had that soft run, was able to get the better of Cruise late, but his run was okay, $1.20 favourite. You'd expect him to be winning. It's still early in his preparation, so I'm willing to forgive him to some degree. We know he's a high-class horse at his best. I want to see him again and see what he does next time. And Rockabella Star stuck on pretty well, only to be beaten a couple of metres in the end. But it was probably the way the race panned out that won the affair for Miss Atomic Betty, and as you say, she turned over the favourite.
Okay, let's have a look at the next race, which was the third. It was a trot. It was won by a Garston girl and one with a bit in hand. What did you take out of this?
Yeah, well, I think it'll be a good form race for starters. The first three all got away from the rest of the field. We know how good she is. She was sort of, competing at Nellie Oaks level earlier in the last season as a three-year-old. She didn't make it into the Oaks, but her win the week before suggested that she would have been a chance in that race. So, look, we know she's high class at her best. She's mixed her form a little bit since then, but we know, a couple of starts back, she did get the job done. She's been ticking over pretty well, and it was a good aggressive drive from Jason Lee to find the pegs, and from there she was always going to be hard to run down. They mile rated 159.2, which is good for this class over the middle trip for the Trotters. And he had enough in hand. Saxon Rose came out late, had a dig, but couldn't quite get there after finding the pegs first. Really quick beginner, so she's always going to put herself in good positions, and that was certainly the case on the weekend. She got close enough without being able to turn over Garston Girl. Ballpark's an interesting runner. He was the one that was off the pegs compared to the first two, I guess, in transit, and he does take a little while to wind up, but he always continues to give, and his run was good. He wasn't beaten too far in third. There was a big gap back to the rest. It's Not Dark Yet wasn't a bad run. Coconut Sunrise, given it was a big step up in grade, I know it was beaten 50-odd metres, but probably can go down in grade again and be competitive somewhere in an easier race. But certainly the top three, I think they'll all go on to win their fair share of races.
Okay. What about Bad Billy? Won as most expected at fives on.
Yeah, this was well, it was really a procession in the end, wasn't it? There was it didn't single file for a five runner field. You'd probably expect it at some point they would have singled down into Indian file, but it didn't eventuate. There was always a horse in the breeze, that being Riverboat Jasper. Medal of Honor was 1-1, and they didn't apply a great deal of pressure. 47.6 lead time tells the story there. It was slower lead time than some of the less or the lower class races earlier in the night. 30.1 first quarter. They did, I guess, wind it up that entire last mile. And Bad Billy, as you would have expected, $1.20 favourite. He led and he was too strong for them. The interesting runner is Be Good Juddy. He had the soft run on his back. Now, I've watched the replay three or four times. I can't quite work out whether he was going to give Bad Billy a real scare or whether he was just going to run a nice second. I suspect it was the latter, but he just went roughly, even maybe galloped at the top of the straight. His effort to get back down and run second was very good, even with the peg line run and the way the race worked out. So big tick for Be Good Juddy, uncharacteristic from him to make that mistake. So I'd be happy to back him wherever he goes next time. Art Keeper, with that peg line run, ran third, and the other two off the pegs. I'm not sure it's their absolute true form. It was a bit of an awkward race. Small field didn't work out for them, so we just wait and hold on Riverboat Jasper and Medal of Honour. But Bad Billy, he got the job done, as most people expected.
Okay, well, we look at the next race, which is race five. This was David Aitken and Josh combining with He Can Fly, who won as an odds-on favourite.
Yeah, he did, and it was a good strong win because he didn't find the front as maybe he would have hoped to. He had to sit park perspective, was able to use his gate speed, and he built momentum into that first bend and was able to lead. They went an early time of 45.5 into a first quarter of 30.7, and then they sort of broke 30 seconds for the last three quarters, highlighted by 27.8 that quarter home, and he's done it from the breeze. He Can Fly. We saw it the week before, given the times he ran at Tabcorp Park, we knew he was going pretty well. You know, he had to do it from the breeze, which is a little bit of a different story, I guess, in this sort of race, but he was in control the whole way. He Can Fly. He put the leader away pretty early. He held off all the challenges, and he was really cruising down the line. He's won by 4 metres, but he probably could have won by more. Staggerly's run a very good race. He's a horse that he's starting to build again. Wouldn't be surprised to see him win a race shortly, given he's come from the back of the field and made a good dash to run a clear second. Aldebaran Macca, with that soft run behind the leader, was okay in third. Roy George was one that was just poking through late. Yarrington Bob out wide also made ground, so even though they've been beaten decent margins and haven't been too far off last, really, in that clump that finished sort of fourth to eighth, but both of their runs were probably as good as anything in the race, Roy George and Yarrington Bob, in terms of following horses going forward. But He Can Fly, maybe just a level above them at this stage, and I'm not sure where he gets to, what level he's going to sort of make it at, whether he stays in Victoria or whether he may end up being a Perth-type horse. I'm not entirely sure, but I think the way he's racing right now, we know that he's got plenty more wins in him.
And we go to race six. So this was the feature race of the night, the Blossom Lady. It was won by Kian Calypso. Over the favourites, Carlos Pixel.
Yeah, it was a good quality race, and Kian Calypso was able to find the front. Carlos Pixel had to work to the breeze, and they sort of controlled the tempo up front, really. 45.6 lead times, so very similar to the previous race. Again, 30.4 first quarter. They got a breather through that second quarter, really. Kian Calypso wound it down to 31.1 that second section of the final mile, and then they did sprint up again through the third quarter, as is customary through most races at Tabcorp Park, that latter half of the third quarter when they really start to get serious. And Kian Calypso, she was good, strong. We knew the week before how unlucky she was behind Vinny Chase, and she was able to use her gate speed. She wasn't caught behind any tiring horses. She led, and she was too strong for Carlos Pixel, who's ran a mighty race. She's in really good form at the minute. She continued to give all the way up the straight. She was never really beaten. She was always presenting and going close, but couldn't quite get Kian Calypso. Whirly Schools come from the back, and she's made a really good run at them, arguably, I guess, the run of the race, given that she had to make up ground at the top of the straight, and she did so really well, and probably that last 50 metres was her best of the race. Whirly School to finish third, only beaten about a neck. Little Lynn had to lead up the three wide line, not an ideal situation. Battle on okay. Shakahari made a little bit of late ground as well, but I guess all credit to the winner, Kian Calypso. Carlos Pixel, as good as anything in the race, and there are probably a number of runs that you can follow going forward from it.
Okay, so that's a look at that race, and having a look at the next event, which followed the feature race number seven, Mr. Sierre was able to win this, the trot.
Yeah, Mr. Cool Sierre, he showed a little bit more gate speed from the inside barrier draw. Blake Fitzpatrick got him to run the gate, and he was able to hold the early challenge of Dora Pepper, which did prove pretty important. They were sort of the clear market leaders. It was $1.60 to $3.70, and then double figures the rest. So it was always going to be an important little battle early, and ended up telling the story, really. Dora Pepper got fired up, and she dropped out. So forgive run from her, the second favourite. She's been beaten a long way, too far to be her true form, you'd have to say. But Mr. Cool Sierre went a 47.2 lead time into a 31.4 first quarter, so he was able to get some sort of breather there, and then he just sort of set good solid fractions all the way home, and he looked the winner a long way out. He dropped the field pretty early, sort of that 400 metre mark, and Get the Net did come out of the pack and chased really hard. Clearly a horse with a lot of ability and starting to sort of make it at this level, I guess you'd say, a metropolitan type horse in the making, and starting to really get the good hard racing under its belt and hit the line strongly to be beaten 4 metres. I suspect Mr. Cool Sierre had a little bit left in the tank, by the same token, the favourite. So good win, good second from Get the Net. And most of the other runners, pretty much you got what you expected from them. Somebody like you was a sort of a small chance of running third at the top of the straight, but made a mistake from the soft run. So that's what went wrong there. Glenferrie Bell made a little bit of ground, and Tiavon's Dream Zenya, they were all thereabouts, without being able to eat into that big margin to the leader and the winner, Mr. Cool Sierre. So interesting race, and again, a number of horses you can follow going forward, namely Get the Net and Mr. Cool Sierre.
Well, the winner, Mr. Cool Sierre, prepared and driven by a Blake Fitzpatrick, who's been kind enough to join us. Blake, congratulations on the win. Do you think he had a bit in reserve?
Thanks, Nadia. Good morning, and good morning, Blake. Yeah, no, he had a tendency to want to switch off when he got out on his own at probably the 400-metre mark, and there's definitely a little bit left in the tank.
Blake, he's a really interesting horse. He's sort of he's done the rounds. I think he's been to a number of different places across his journey. He's now settled with you. Tell us a little bit about where he's at the minute. He obviously came down to Melton a couple of starts ago. You ran into a bit of Magic, who's a pretty nice mare going forward. So you didn't get the Metropolitan win first up, but second time round he was too strong. He's clearly still getting better all the time.
Yeah, definitely, Blake. He's an improving type, and he's been with our stable for probably just over 12 months now, and we had a good opinion of him when he first came over from New Zealand. He probably won his first 4 out of 5, and then he really struggled with the hot conditions here in the summer last year, and that just really knocked his form around, so we decided to give the horse a break. And this preparation, he's been a much, much more consistent horse, and as you said, he's run at Melton a month ago, was really good, and that was the reason why we decided to bring him back. He was knocking on the door to win his MO.
Interesting that you mentioned the weather. It's something I guess you have to deal with different horses, knowing their traits and their personalities. Are we to read anything into that? Are you willing to keep going with him this summer and see if it was just something that was in tow last year and maybe different this year, or are you thinking about giving him a spell at some stage and putting him out? How does it work?
We'll just keep a close eye on him, obviously, Blake, but he has acclimatised a lot better. He's been here for, as I said, over 12 months. And yeah, unfortunately for him, last summer here in Sydney was hotter than usual, and we've had a number of days over 40 degrees. So he just simply wasn't accustomed to heat like that. And yeah, I think this summer hopefully he will handle it better, but it's just something we'll have to monitor.
It's not something you do all the time, bringing horses to Victoria. Generally, a big race sort of occasion is when we see you here most. Is the reason you've brought him down here just racing opportunities, or is he a horse that you're looking, you think, may be able to make it in bigger races, and you wanted to give him some experience at Melton? What was the sort of thoughts behind it?
It's probably a bit of both, really, Blake. Harness Racing Victoria do it so well. There's so many good opportunities for trotters down there, so yeah, we will be looking to come down a lot more than what we normally do. So, yeah, with so many trotters in our stable, it's just we've found it hard to place them here in New South Wales. So, yeah, you'll probably be seeing a little bit more of us, Blake.
What's that? Well, that's always good news. What's the sort of routine when you bring a horse to Victoria? Do you bring them down the day before and stay overnight, or how do you bring them down on the day? How does it work?
We've done both, Blake, really. We normally get there as late as possible, either early morning of the race, or we go down the day before, and if we think they need a little bit of time to settle in. So, but it's a pretty pretty easy trip for us. It's only just on 8 hours from our front gate to where we stay in Victoria. So, yeah, the horse seemed to cope with the travelling, and we haven't had it affect one yet anyway.
And what's sort of the level that you think Mr. Coolseer can get to? We don't want to put too much pressure on him, given he's just won a Metropolitan Maiden, but he's got a bit of progression to go. Where do you see him sort of being in maybe 12 months' time?
Yeah, he's probably at the crossroads in his career, really, Blake. He's at a stage now where he's going to have to take the next step and to race the better horses. He's up in grade now, so I think he could follow the speed and be competitive. He's obviously not going to be up with the good trotters, but something like the Carnival, the Country Cups in Victoria would probably be something that would suit him down the track for sure.
All right, Blake, we'll appreciate your time today and good luck with the horse in the future.
Thanks, Blake. Thanks, Nadia.
Is Blake Fitzpatrick, who of course puts the polish and also drove the winner of race number 7 there with Mr. Coolseer taking out that race. Look, the other race we've got to look at here, Blake, is race number 8, and this was won by Kiang Steamer over the favourite Major Dan.
It was. It was a good, strong win as well. Major Dan, I suppose most punters at $1.30 would have expected him to lead and be too strong based on, you know, his second to Bernie Winkle on Victoria Cup night, and he won a good race at Melton when he was able to lead a handful of starts ago. So they've gone a good time, 152.9. He did have to really work hard to find the lead. Got to go Henry underneath him, was trying to hold him into the first bend. Eventually, Major Dan got to the pegs, but it was a little bit of a damage done situation. 6.8 lead time, 27.5 first quarter. Kiang Steamer was, off the pace early, was able to work to the breeze and then sort of they put the pressure on through that third quarter. And he really dug in, Kiang Steamer. We know how good he is. I think he sat parked in a Horsham Cup and beat Smoking Up. So his best form is very, very good. We haven't seen it for a little while. He's had his injury issues, but clearly that win showed that, you know, he's still tough, he's still strong, and it was a good win over Major Dan, who I just question maybe he's come to the end of his preparation. I'm not saying that's a definite, given he had to do that early work and a very good horse has beaten him. Maybe that was just exactly where he's at right now, but we'll find out more a little bit next time, I guess, with Major Dan and most of the rest. Beach Boy Adios, loving a Chevy, you know, what you'd expect from him in that sort of race, but first two very good horses, no doubt about it.
Exactly, so they look like some to follow. Look, who are the main horses to follow out of the program, do you think, Blake?
I think He Can Fly is a horse that's going to go through his grades really quickly. He's now one exam, one race, so he'll either be, you know, using a claim, going to some of those lesser country cups, or stepping right up into sort of the M2 to M4 action. So he's going to have to go to another level again. But the way he won, I'm confident that he's going to be a nice horse going forward. I think if we follow all of the form around race 3 on the program, Garston, Girl, Saxon, Rosen, Ball, Park, provided they don't clash, I guess, going forward, I'd suggest that they'll all be winning races again. And from earlier on the program, I guess there's a Metropolitan race in a couple of them. I wouldn't be too perturbed by the run of Marnie, and he's probably under the radar a little bit, beaten 20 metres, but I think he's a horse that his run was much better than it looks on paper, and he's probably one that I'd watch in Metropolitan Maiden grade in the next couple of weeks.
Outstanding, Blake. Look forward to hearing you and Jason on Gatespeed tomorrow. Thank you, Connie.
Thanks, Nads.